When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right, everyone, it's part three of GigPod Rewind, where we look back at season 2010-2011. I'm Stevie, and Reedzo returns to talk about a season where Celtic didn't win a league, threw away a league cup, and yet it was enjoyable. And December 2010 was pretty dreadful too, much like this year's December so far. Yeah, sadly, it's not even finished yet. But you never stayed away then, John, so please explain yourself to the listeners.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Stevie. I was made of stronger stuff then. Now I've been ground down and I'm an old man now. But I'd like to say thanks to Tony for replacing me the other day. I thought it was fantastic. And no doubt he'll be back in the pod again. But yes, I am back. Hello, everybody.
And are you going to tell everybody your news about the fact that you actually knocked back a freebie on Saturday?
Yes, I could have went to the game on Saturday, thanks to your good self, but no, I have turned it down. But we will be meeting up in Mollers, that wonderful pub, after the game. So stay tuned for the results of that when we're back after Christmas, listeners.
Brilliant, thanks for telling everybody our plans. Can't wait to get glassed, John.
And I tried to buy your hilarious Christmas present today, but unfortunately, the ones that I found weren't that good, so I'll try again tomorrow. So you can put up a picture of your present once I buy it on the Instagram for the listeners, because I'm sure they'll love to see what it is.
No new, I bet it's just a selection box of Poundland, but I'll be very grateful, John.
Thank you, brother.
Where were we, actually? Right, we got up to the split. Celtic had just gubbed Kilmarnock at Rugby Park. Christ, remember those days? We won 4-0, we were a point behind Rangers, but we had a game in hand. So it got to the split. Fixtures were Rangers versus Celtic, that was the first game. Then we had Celtic against Dundee United. Then we had a trip to Inverness on the 4th of May. Kilmarnock after that away. Then we had Tynecastle to go to, and then on the last day, home to Motherwell. So what was a game you were in? Fact, no, you were at the game at Ibrox, weren't you, John? The 0-0 game. So why don't you talk about that? What are your memories? And we'll go into the eventful penalty miss later, but what was it all like beforehand?
Well, it was tense because it was like completely different from the season before, but obviously the season had like ended in March, apart from the Scottish Cup, which we'll not talk about that. But I mean, it was a really tense game because it was been a very long and draining season, even longer than this season, would you believe? Well, it was the end of the season. But no, it was like, I don't know, hard to explain, but it was such a huge game. I think everybody was pretty nervous because basically if we lost, the league was over. I mean, you wouldn't admit that, unlike nowadays, but practically, the league was over if we lost, but everybody was pretty confident. But all I really remember is that it was a game of few chances. I think Sammy had a header saved by McGregor until like the last 10 minutes where Anthony Stokes came on. And this will actually get ready to faint, listeners. We got a penalty at Ibrox and a title decider. Can you believe that? What do you think the chances of that happening on nowadays, Stevie?
I remember seeing that at the time and I did think it was a soft decision. I can't remember who the ref was. You might have to... Oh, wait, was it Craig Thompson, maybe? I can't remember. But I always remember like thinking that was such a... I was. Craig Thompson was the ref. And it was kind of justice, though, if you think about it, because remember Rangers got a penalty at Celtic Park when they won 3-1. Willie Collin gave it when Cut Broadfoot blatantly dived. But Willie Collin wasn't looking. He turned round and he saw him hit the deck and he gave a penalty against Mistorovic. So, aye, I'd say it was a bit of justice after that one. But I don't think it was a penalty. Stokes, I think, beat Whittaker. And I think him and Stephen Davis went into a 50-50 and like Davis shoulder barged them. But it was very soft. I think everybody had a feeling that Samaras was going to miss that penalty, didn't they?
I have to say, I didn't even watch it. I was at a game, the only game I attended at Ibrox that season after a memorably knocked back a ticket for a legendary 2-0 win at New Year. And I was right at the very end of the sort of bits separating the fans. I was the very last seat, and then it was the segregation, then it was the Rangers fans. But there wasn't really, this will shock you, there wasn't even really that much like taunting between the fans. I think everybody was just so sort of nervous, both sets of fans. my initial thought was yes, and then I immediately thought, oh no, what's going to happen? We're going to miss it. And I just couldn't watch it. I put my head in my hands, I think, and I just closed my eyes, one or the other. Something ridiculously theatrical. Like, and then I just heard their fans going ballistic, and I thought, oh, Sammy. And then all I remember is that after the game, me and my mate Pingu, know a guy that's on Twitter, another guy, were on the supporters bus going back, and everybody, I think, was like, pretty content because it was still in their own hands. And I remember I just says to him, we fucked it, didn't we? And he went, aye, I think we have as well. And that's what I always remember most about that game, how after that I thought, I think we fucked this. And then, of course, you think, no, we can still do it. I mean, we'll talk about those United in a minute, but that was a convincing win, and it was in their own hands, and we still thought, oh, we'll do it. But then, secretly at the back of my mind, I thought, we've blown this. Because if we'd scored that, I think we would have practically won the league. I don't think we would have blown it the way we did. But no, that's really what I remember most, how me and my mate Pingu thought, we fucked up. Well, it makes the other guys for the bus were like fairly content. And I remember one of the other guys, shockingly enough, looked to me and went, cheer up, still in our own hands, because I think I must have been looking despondent. But I was right to, because I just thought that's a big opportunity wasted. I mean, winning at Ibrox twice in the league in a season, we rarely do that. I mean, we didn't even do that under Ange. So, nah. That was a big opportunity missed.
It's funny though that season, because other than that penalty miss for Samaras, we were pretty clinical from the spot. I think Chris Coben scored a couple, and Anthony Stokes scored a few, in Samaras as well. Here's one for you though, and this is Rangers being hilarious again with their staunchness. So the weekend that we played Dundee United, David Weir had a tribute to the royal wedding, because Will and Kate get married on the Saturday. The 29th, and I think on the shirt it said congrats Will and Kate, and it had the wedding date and everything. It was so bizarre, but it turns out David Weir could have faced an inquiry about it. And the funny thing, I think it was FIFA regulations said that compulsory equipment states these tops must not contain any religious, political or personal statements, and that's what it was deemed as. Waltersmith actually was asked about it, and he said, sorry, I can't enlighten you at all, don't know anything about it. It must have been a kit, man.
Good old Rangers, what a club. It'd be really embarrassing if we let them win a league this season, but of course that won't happen. Right, let's go back to another season where we let Rangers win a league, 2011, and we beat Dundee United 4-1. What are your memories of that game?
Oh, I was dying. I had a hangover. It was a terrible hangover, but I still went to the game, John. Much like last weekend there, I was dying, man. I was out at the Bonacord pub for, I was, believe it or not, still playing football back then, and one of the boys in the team was getting married. So we had the stag do there, and it was a free bar. Oh, it was terrible. I overdone it. It was roasting against Dundee United. Stokes and Hooper combined to make it 1-0. Gary Hooper opened the score, and it was, yeah. And then Kayao scored a screamer for distance. And I remember thinking then, we're going to go on and do them by a few here. And I was relieved that we got that 2-goal cushion, because as you remember, Dundee United were a very difficult opponent that season. We made it 3-0. And then David Goodwillie pulled a goal back. And then Daryl Murphy, if memory serves me correct, scored like an amazing solo goal. He got the ball on the halfway line, was up against four defenders, beat them all, and lobbed it over that Dusan Pernis. So, great performance, great game. Great weather, just a shame how miserable I felt. I think I was living in a flat in Cathcart at the time. And directly after it, instead of going to the pub or going out with my mates, and it was still scorching in April, I just went right home and right to my bed, and I woke up and it was still quite light outside. Shambles. And the sad thing is, John, I'd only just turned 25 back then, so I was always like an old guy at heart. I was like Alan Brazil in my 20s.
How do you remember the minutiae a night out for you? Over 12 years ago, that's just an unbelievable talent.
I'm very sad.
Well, that's for the listener to judge. And that night, Emilio Izaguirre, superb left back in his first season at Celtic, was named as the Scottish Football Player of the Year, voted for by his fellow professionals. He was given the award by Davy Moyes, I recall, a man who somehow hasn't been Celtic manager in the 12 years since. The events of this season took place, even though he's been linked with Celtic hundreds of times, he's never been the manager. Who knows, maybe he will be in the future. But no, Emilio really deserved to win that award, because he was fantastic that season. It was just a pity that he suffered an injury not long into the next season, broke his ankle against Aberdeen, and he was never the same player again. But, I mean, I think you'll agree that he fully deserved to be named as a player of the year that season. He won the Football Writers Player of the Year as well. The aforementioned David Goodwillie actually won the Young Player of the Year. But no, as he fully deserved those awards.
Joe Ledley was fantastic for us that season as well, though. But yeah, Izaguirre was the standout, definitely. A real fan's favourite, too. And when you consider that game that he started against Motherwell, he was completely unknown, but he was outstanding at Fir Park that day. I look at his Celtic career as well. 38 assists, that's quite impressive, isn't it? And I think the majority of them, when you look at them, would have been probably the first season and also maybe what, Dyla's first season, maybe? 38 assists, I'm very surprised with. Does that shock you, that stat?
Not really, because he had such a good first season and he was at Celtic for years. I mean, don't forget, he did come back for a second spell, so... And he was a major focal point of your attack for a good while. But, I mean, it was just a pity that injury really stifled his career. It probably stopped us from selling him for millions, too, because we like to do that even then. But, no, I mean, it's just a pity. Like, people might see him as a one-season wonder just because of how brilliant he was in his first season. But that'd be unfair, because he did have a good career with us. But that broken ankle up at Aberdeen, I think in the second game of the next season, if I'm right, just totally ruined his Celtic career, and that's a pity. But no, he was a great player for us. So you can talk about the events after that game, if you want, leading up to the game against Inverness on the Wednesday after the Dundee United game.
Lucky me. Just very quickly on Izaguirre as well, I was looking at his stats, and he has one Champions League assist, and of course, it was the one where we finally won away, when we scored in Moscow in the 90th minute. And Samaras put that header away, so I thank you, Izzy, for that. Yes, after that game, the players under Neil Lennon's management went out to the West End. I think the talk was went to Brell. They were certainly out at Ashton Lane after the hotel and everything. And a lot of our first team players, after that game and after those awards, got royally pished. We then went to Inverness a couple of days after that. I'm trying to remember the score here, John. Why don't you remind me?
Inverness 3, Celtic 2. A catastrophe at Inverness. Not the first time we've suffered one of them, and not the last time either.
I think it was on like 6 o'clock or something, wasn't it? On ESPN at the time. And Charlie Mulgrew, Adam Rooney, he flicked it into Charlie Mulgrew and it went past Fraser Forster. The sun was shining in his eyes. But then Chris Coleman scored a couple of minutes later and you thought, right, okay, we're going to go on now and do them. And then we just capitulated. In that second half, Grant Munro scored like a volley, and then Shane Sutherland, a couple of minutes later, made it 3-1. 3-1 was too much to come back from. Now, if the players were professional, and if the players were focused, might have not even got to that stage, but when you're asking guys who, from what we heard, were out till the early hours of Monday morning, when they had a game on Wednesday, if you're asking them to be 100% and to claw back 3 goals in the space of half an hour, it's a very big ask. I remember me and you, we've talked about that for ages, John, and yes, okay, fine, Celtic have won league since, but still doesn't stop hurting, does it? Because it was so self-inflicted from the management team.
And we really should have won the league. I mean, we got like a lot of points off Rangers that season when nobody expected us to, but we showed that we were a good team, especially after the dreadful season before Neil Lennon. Shortly enough, actually looked to be a good manager then. And I think he'd like some great results in the next couple of years. I mean, that win against Barcelona, the wins over Lazio more recently. But I mean, I think his best season as a manager was this season because he picked up that team off the floor and they really should have won the league against a really good Rangers manager, Walter Smith. I mean, one of the best managers Rangers have ever had, probably. And we really competed and nobody saw it coming. I mean, a bit similar to how Ange like, sort of turned Celtic around in his first season, but of course we did win the league. And obviously Lenny did go on to win leagues at Celtic. But no, I think this was his best season as a Celtic manager. Football we played was great. Everybody was behind him. Maybe a bit much behind him. And like I think that ended up causing problems down the road. Well, I think his ego got too big. But that happens to football managers. They have got egos. But I think Lenny's really did get big. And it was all about Lenny, basically. Especially towards the end of his time at Celtic. I know that's shocking that Lenny would act like that, but there you go. But no, it was so disappointing to blow the league the way we did. I mean, obviously, we still had 3 games to go that were eventful in their own ways, but I think everybody knew secretly that we fucked it. And we had. But no, it was just so strange. Like, you'd think that after Com was equalised, like literally minutes after going a goal behind in the first 10 minutes would really come back. But it didn't happen, and just a long line and a lot of poor results at Inverness. Thankfully, we don't lose to them anymore. I mean, we didn't in the cup final last year. But no, that was just a very, very sad day, as I remember.
Yep, so as it stood, Rangers and Celtic both played 35 games. We no longer had a game in hand. We were a point behind. We had a bit of goal difference, but you didn't feel as if it was going to count for anything. Rangers really had to lose one of their last few games. Now, the next game we beat Kilmarnock, it was very forgettable. Chris Coleman scored an utter screamer. But yeah, we got 3 points there. And then it led into a game in midweek on the 11th of May against Hearts at Tynecastle. We won 3-0, but the game was overshadowed by an attack by a Hearts fan on Neil Lennon. And John, I was at this game, so if you want to ask me my memories of it, feel free. But were you in the match, or did you watch that on TV, and where did you watch it, if so?
I think I watched it in my own house, as far as I remember. I don't think I went to the pub because I lost faith in us winning the league. And unsurprisingly, I'd given up on Celtic. So I was saving my money to get a good drink up after the cup final. But no, I just watched it on the telly, and obviously, I mean, I just got the picture of what was on telly. You were there that night. I mean, what was the atmosphere like? We've had some interesting occasions at Tynecastle in the past, back when we used to get that full stand, which I think we had that night. Obviously, those days are long gone, but it sounded like a sort of a mad atmosphere. And what was that like? I mean, after the Lennon incident where the fan attacked him, and like after the game as well?
No, after the game, we get held back for quite a bit. I remember that, and it was... I actually got the train home that time. I was with someone from my old work who got a last-minute ticket for me. So getting home was okay, because back then, believe it or not, I didn't wear a lot of Celtic colours, John. I was just wearing my ordinary clothes, a lot like Danny McGrain would do. But not at the game, it was poisonous. Like, it was really, you could feel there was like a looming sort of sense of dread in the atmosphere. I don't know how to explain it, because obviously like Hearts didn't really have anything to play for. We of course did, but you just felt as if Hearts were determined to win that game to end the title there and then. And of course, you remember our last trip to Tynecastle, we get comprehensively beaten 2-0, you know, on the pitch. Fantastic, we were brilliant. Gary Hooper scored after like 10 minutes or something. I think it was that guy Zaliukas, who's passed away now. I think he passed it right to Commons, and he played in Hooper, made it 1-0, and it was good to get that early goal, because as I say, in the first 10 minutes or so, you were on edge thinking if Hearts got the first goal, oh, it would have been terrible, and there probably would have been riots and rammies and all that as well if we get beat that night. Certainly the way that we were all feeling as a collective fan base, you know, the thought of Hearts being the team to stop us winning the league, but I just went mad at it. But the first goal was great, and then what was it, I think Key had an effort saved, and he might have played in Hooper to make it 2-0. I think before that David Abua was sent off, and then Chris Commons scored a third, and he was sent off again because he celebrated the goal with all the fans behind the stand. But it was an emotional night, obviously, so there was a bit of solidarity and togetherness, which was great between the players and the fans then. So obviously he was out of the game against Burnaby in the final day, but it wouldn't have mattered after that. He did come back in for the cup final. But yeah, of course, the main incident was that guy that ran on to attack Neil Lennon. And I've got to say, like, I was going mad when Hooper scored to make it 2-0, and I didn't see a thing. I remember where I was sitting. It was quite near the corner flag, opposite where Hooper scored, so it wasn't at the side where Chris Commons ran into, it was at the other side. But I didn't see anything. I was fairly high up, and I was just celebrating with my mate, just saying, thank God we're not going to lose it tonight. You'd rather take it the final day anyway, and then you saw the entire main stand there going mad, and you saw loads of police and stewards all running over, and I think with everything that was happening to Neil Lennon that season, you didn't have to be a genius to figure out what had happened there. You know, if you saw a guy getting dragged away, but having seen the replays of it, I think the only humour I can see in it is it was the worst attempt to an attack at all time. He completely missed Lennon. He got a wee kick for his troubles, and I think Thomson tried to intervene as well. So I think his name was John Wilson, wasn't it? And he got off with it in the next season. So there's never been anything like that in Scottish football ever since, John. I remember you saying that, you know, with the stuff that Neil Lennon got through in the post, but you've never seen anything like that as well towards a manager in the sidelines. It was just unparalleled stuff. Although, he did argue with a fan when we drew one each way at Arbroath, but there was no violence or anything.
So he did, I forgot about that. Yes, unlike Lenny, he argued with a fan. But no, that was terrible, and just yet another example of the absolute mayhem of that season. But no, I mean, as you say, that win against Hearts did mean that it went to the last day. We were playing Motherwell at home in a preview of the Scottish Cup final, which was against Motherwell the following week. Rangers were at Kilmarnock, that wonderful stadium where we never struggle. And unfortunately, they scored 3 goals in the first 7 minutes. And that meant that they had the league wrapped up in 7 minutes, unfortunately. I mean, we did go on to win the game comfortably. And of course, that song, Something Inside So Strong by Labby Seafree, was played before the game because that was adopted as Lenny's anthem. Was the vigil for Lenny around this time as well? Or was that talked about in the last episode?
I don't know if we did talk about it in the last episode. God, it was like a few weeks ago, wasn't it? But that's right, there was a vigil, John, on a Saturday night as well. And I remember it was the Daily Record covered that. Like, they sent, like, not just, nowadays it would just be like a wee guy with a phone, a freelance or something doing it, but I think they sent like 3 or 4 reporters there to cover it all.
I doubt we'll be having a vigil for Brendan, let's see, anytime soon. But no, I mean, it was on a Thursday night, actually, because I've got the report here. Thursday night, 23rd April, around about that, 2011. So, I don't know. It was a very strange time at Celtic. Even stranger than now, I'd say. Because at least, like, you could understand the strangeness then. But no, I mean, the last game of the season, we did comfortably beat Motherwell. And, I mean, I remember the fans doing the huddle and, like, the players got a good reception towards the end. But it didn't really mean anything because Rangers had the league won in 7 minutes.
Anyway, we'll go on to the final. Oh, this will give you a laugh. So I don't think you know this story about me in the final. We played Motherwell. It was a terrible day at Hampden, wasn't it? A lashing down of rain, and it didn't stop all day. But here's one for you. Do you know I left that game at half-time?
I didn't know. I mean, we've known each other for over a decade, and you've never told me this. What was the reasons for you leaving? Were you hungover?
No, I had food poisoning. I felt so sick. I had something in the morning. I'm not going to tell me who made it, right? But let's just say they're not a good cook, unlike Kak Sabanovic. But somebody made me a breakfast, and within a few hours, I just felt absolutely appalling. See that way where my face was chalk white. I was going to throw up, and I just felt as if I didn't run to the toilet, then the game was gone, basically, without getting too graphic. But I remember doing all that, going to the toilet, doing a tactical, and still after it feeling utterly, utterly dreadful, to the point that there was medics around me at Hampden asking if they could take me to the medical room because I looked so, so bad. And I remember just saying to them, do you know what, I'm going to have to go. At that time I think I told you already, I lived at Kivcart, so I was 5 minutes walk away from Hampden. I just had to go home. I watched the rest on the couch on BBC Scotland. And that was me. So there you go. I've never told you that story. Nobody knows it. But yes, food poisoning got the better of me. And I couldn't see Celtic lift the cup. But I did at least go. I was part of the official attendance, John, so I'm not that bad.
I mean, what a moment. Just sums up the craziness of this season. I mean, and I forgot to mention that Sky Sports used to do the Scottish Cup back then. Not that wonderful company, Viaplay. And for their intro of the game, bizarrely enough, they were showing Celtic fans that were looking at their phones and listening to the radio during the game against Motherwell a week before, and it showed you a couple of fans, and one of the fans featured was me, as I must have had an iPhone back then, I think I did, and like, I was listening to the radio on it, and I was telling the person next to me, I think they've scored, and unfortunately I haven't been able to find the footage because for some reason, that Scottish Cup final has been quite hard to get footage of. I mean, the entire game's up now on the Scottish Cup YouTube channel, but sadly, it's not the Sky Sports coverage, so a blow to my ego there. But then, if anybody doesn't remember the game, because it was pretty meh, we did score the opening goal in the first half. The only goal you saw, an absolute cracker by Key for about 30 yards out. Then, that great guy, Stephen Craigan, scored an OG. He tried to sort of clear a... I think he tried to clear a Mark Wilson shot and it sort of, he cleared it over the line by accident. And then the third goal was an absolute crang free kick, a trademark free kick by Charlie Mulgrew. So it was O'Hamden in the rain instead of the sun. But we did get a trophy, the least which we deserved. I mean, we deserved to win 3 trophies that season, but we only won 1, and it was a Scottish Cup. But it did give us a platform to build on for the next season. And who knows, maybe in the future we'll be talking about season 2011-2012 in detail, because that was another very odd season for about 1,000 reasons.
Yeah, well, actually, amazingly, when we asked if we'll do another rewind, people wanted to hear, it was either that or they wanted to hear a couple of the striking seasons. They wanted to hear about 05-06, so I guess we can put it to a poll and see what people want to hear, if it's season 2011-2012 or season 2005-2006. I don't know where that poll would be, John, so why don't you remind people?
It would be on GigPod's Instagram account, which is, of course, at GigPod. And we've been getting a lot of attention there for Stevie's forthright opinions on the manager and everybody else at Celtic Park. And no doubt there'll be more of them over the next week. I'll be back with my Rizzo selects as well for the Livingston game. Oh, good. But yes, we will be back next week. And I will come on the pod again next week. We're taking a wee slight break for Christmas, but we will be back after the Livingston and Dundee games have been completed, so we'll be back after Boxing Day. So I suppose we better say Merry Christmas to the listeners, Stevie.
I suppose we should. Merry Christmas to all the GigPod fans. You truly are one of the greats. We'll obviously do a proper Christmas post as well on our Instagram. But yes, from myself, Stevie, thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks for keeping the abuse at an absolute bare minimum. And hopefully you'll be tuning in again in 2024.
Yes, and I echo all that. Merry Christmas to all the listeners. Thank you for all your support this season. You have made 2 old men very happy. And you can keep supporting us on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify and on all the other podcast platforms by liking and subscribing to the pod. The more subscriptions we get, the better. And we'll be doing more episodes next season. I will be back, even though I took last week off. I wasn't a coward. I just couldn't have bothered more than about Celtic game. So hopefully when I'm back next week, I won't be moaning about Celtic, but who can tell these days? Right, we'll speak to you all soon. We'll be back next week. Have a great Christmas, everybody, and hail, hail.
Social Podcast Network.